All right, you don't need to stand, but take your Bibles and find Joshua chapter number 3 again. Joshua chapter number 3. For those that were here last Wednesday night, this is where we were and we're going to be again. And just continue to dig into this story. Joshua chapter number 3. Oh, I want you to look with me at the first couple of verses. The Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host," and then verse 3, "they commanded the people, saying," and gives some instructions. And so, as I shared with you last week, this time in history for the nation of Israel was a very exciting time. God was at work. God was doing some amazing things. It seems like for the last so many years as they wandered in the wilderness, that all of the lessons, everything that God was teaching them was bringing them to this specific moment in time. And now here they are on the very precipice of crossing over the Jordan River and seeing God do some amazing, amazing things. And we shared this thought last week, but I just wonder what would have been in the minds of the nation of Israel as they stood there on this side of the Jordan, looking toward the other side of the Jordan, and knowing all of the wonderful things that God had done and was about to do. And I can only imagine as they sat there, yeah, there were some nerves and wondering what the future held. But I also think that as they sat there, and especially since the Bible is specific on the fact that 3 days they camped there, kind of waiting for this to happen, that there was no doubt within that 72-hour period, there was no doubt sometimes where I see the nation of Israel, I see some of the men and some of the families as they sit around the dinner table or around a campfire and they begin to reminisce and talk about all of the wonderful things that God had done to bring them to this point. And though not all of these people would have been alive during this time, they certainly would have heard from their family, from their parents, from their grandparents. They would have heard stories about the plagues in Israel, about how God miraculously delivered them after 400 years of bondage and took them out and set them free. And how just about the time they thought they were set free and that it was smooth sailing and everything was going to be good, they show up and there's the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army is barreling down on them from behind. But can you imagine as they told those stories and recalled the stories that they were told about how the Red Sea, how it broke open and it separated, and how they walked apart on dry land, and no more did their feet get onto the other side of the Red Sea, but they turned around and watched as the Red Sea swallowed up the entire Egyptian army, and they knew they were free at last. I can only imagine as they reminisced about being in Meribah, needing water, and the water was bitter, and God turned that bitter water, rather Marah, God turned that bitter water into drinkable water. I can only imagine as they thought back to how Moses brought, God through Moses brought water from a rock. That's not something you forget. Not too many rocks just open up and start giving you water that you can drink. And enough for a multitude like the nation of Israel to drink. God did that. They must have thought about how every day they got up and walked outside of their tents and there was manna on the ground. And about the time they got sick of that manna, God said, "Okay, well, I'll bring you some quail." And God gave them so much quail that they got sick of quail as well. They remembered how God protected them from the Amalekites at Rephidim. They would have recalled how every day God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and by fire by night, how God led them, and they knew exactly where they were supposed to go. My point is they sat here and they were looking forward. I am certain they were also quick to look back and to be reminded of all of the wonderful things that God had done for them. My goodness, we don't have time tonight to go back and talk about all the wonderful things that God has done for Bethany Baptist Church. But those that have been here the longest have seen the most. And they've seen the peaks, they've seen the valleys, they've been here in the good times, they've been in here through some rough times. But as I sat in my office even today and I was thinking back of what this church would have looked like 40, 45 years ago, they would have been here at 40th and Quaker. But I am confident that on a Wednesday night, even 40 plus years ago, you would have pulled up in these parking lots, you would have walked into this building, it would have looked different. There would have been some paneling, some ugly pews and some ugly carpet that they thought was cutting edge and trendy. How red pews and orange carpet could ever have been cutting edge and trendy, I don't know how. But it was in those days. You would have seen that, but you would have walked in, and though the building wouldn't have looked exactly the same, here's what would have happened. You'd have walked in and they'd have been singing songs like the Solid Rock, like we sang tonight, same hymns. You'd see people dressed up who take church serious. You would hear a preacher preach, and the message would have been gospel-centered, and the purpose of this church would have been gospel-centered. Ross Spencer was a soul-winning machine. And I'm telling you, every day of his life, he was looking for people that he could reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ and taught the people of this church to do the same thing. If you get sick of us telling you, hey, take tracts, pass tracts out, invite people to church, tell people about Jesus, you it's not new. You would have been sick back then 40, 45 years ago because they were doing the same thing. Outreach driven. Buses would have been lined up, being filled up, bringing kids in here. In fact, probably way more kids than what we bring in today. Church would have been missions minded. I'm just saying, as we look back, this church is today what it's always been. Doctrinally, we have not shifted, and we, under my watch, are not going to shift. We're not going to move. We're not going to budge, not one single ounce. We're not going to back off on being a gospel preaching church. We're not going to back off on our purposes to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to back off on being conservative and old-fashioned and all the things this church has ever been. It's not my job to steer this church in a new direction. My job when I took this church as a pastor was to grab the wheel and keep it headed in the very same direction that it's always been for these 51 years. And we've seen God bless and God do marvelous things through those 51 years. But bringing it even closer to time, we look back on this last year. God is blessed. I mean, He has blessed. This will be a poor representation, and it would be a far greater representation if we was to do it Sunday morning or maybe even on a Sunday night. But just so we know, So we can put our eyes just on a little bit of this. If in this last year, 2024, up till today, if you started coming to Bethany Baptist Church, if you joined Bethany Baptist Church, if you were saved or baptized or made a major decision at Bethany Baptist Church, would you do me a favor and would you just stand to your feet? This is a Wednesday night. We're talking a Wednesday night. Look around at the families that are represented. You can be seated. That's pretty awesome. Do that on a Sunday morning and that number about doubles. Sunday night, that number's going to be strong. I'm telling you, God is growing this church. God is bringing new families to this church. And we have to stop as we get ready to move forward into a new year. We have to stop and give God lots of thanks for His goodness and what He's done. It has been a good, good year. It's not only been a good year of growth. God's not only brought us some incredible families and people and a lot of people saved and baptized and added to our church, but it's also been a very good financial year. In most cases, as we will look at here in just a moment, expenses went down, giving went up, balances went up, and the best part of the entire finances of the year, the very best part to me, and it wasn't much, it was only a few thousand dollars, but for the 9th straight year, missions giving is up. 9 years in a row, our missions giving has continued to trend upward, and I am so very, very thankful for that. And so we're going to pause right here. And I told the staff when I was working through this on Monday, and they kind of looked at me like weird. I said, we're going to have part one of the message and then part two of the message. And part one's kind of looking back, and part two's looking forward. And so as we get to the end of this first point, looking back, we're going to have Brother David come, and we're going to talk just a little bit about our finances and the update of what God did. And so you know, business-wise, kind of where we stand and where things are financially.
All right, if you'll take out your paper there, right inside you're going to see our income report for this year. As always, I just want to thank Miss Natalie Bussey. She helps tremendously making sure all of the data is in, make sure it's in the right place. And so grateful for her help in making sure that's entered. And then so grateful for the men, the trustees, the treasurers that sit up here on Sunday afternoons when they could be doing something else, and they're up here making sure everything's in and accounted for, and so grateful for everybody that has a part in that. Just a couple things. I'm not going to go line item by line item this year. Just want to point out a couple of things to you. Our general income at $885,486.20. We saw our tithe, and that general income encompasses a lot of different things, but we saw our tithe jump up this year almost 9% over last year. So praise the Lord for that. And then like Pastor said, our missions income jumped up as well, and several percent there. And so we're just grateful that we're part of a giving church, and we're continuing to move forward in that. So you'll see the total income of $1,557,615.25. And then as we look through the expenses, you can see anything on there. And as always, if you have any questions about what these specifically are about, then I'll be glad to answer those. Like Pastor said, most of these expenses came down this year. And then some of the uncontrollable things, such as insurance and utilities. Anybody else's insurance and utilities go up this past year? So did ours. So did ours. And so you'll see those, but most everything else has come down, and we're grateful for that, leaving us our expenses at $1,492,460.49, with a net income of $65,154.76, which allowed our accounts to rise just a little bit this year. And those balances in those accounts are healthy. We're so grateful. Our general account is healthy. Our missions account is healthy. And we have several other accounts that people contribute to, our building account, our youth account, Christmas for Kids. We have people even outside of the church that give towards that so that we can put on the Christmas for Kids program. And so grateful for God and how He's worked over the last year. The last thing that I'll mention is a couple years ago, we picked up a property that's just off the back side over here next to the buses. And I'm so glad to report we have paid almost half of that off already in 2 years. So we have approximately $70,000 left on that property. And so we praise the Lord, keep giving, and the Lord keeps blessing. So thankful for it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. So we praise the Lord for that, and cannot express enough thanks to the Lord for placing faithful tithing members at Bethany Baptist Church. There's a part of me as a pastor, I want to thank you, but I don't know why I would thank you, because you're just being obedient to the Lord, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so I thanks to God and for putting people in our church that want to be obedient to Him. And I know a thanks for me means very little, because you don't do it for me. You do it for Him and to be obedient to Him. And so we have a lot that we can look back on this last year and see the hand of God, and we can celebrate how He has led, guided, directed, and done so much to bring us to where we are today. But that brings us to the second part. And the Bible brings the nation of Israel to the brink of the Jordan River. And it's time that, though God's done so much good in the past, it's time for them to move forward and to experience new things and to experience a whole new way of seeing God work. And so as they came to the Jordan River, I pointed this out last week, the Bible does say that it came to pass that they came there, and after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So there was a time of waiting. And I do want to say, there's a lot we want to do, but we can't get ahead of God. And by faith, we want to step out and see God do everything that God wants to do. But I hope you understand that sometimes, no, all the time, it's imperative that we wait on God. Somebody might come to me after church tonight and say, well, we just need to get all new buses. Amen, we do. And as soon as God gives us the means and the peace to move forward and do that, we'll do it. Preacher, we need to build a new building. Absolutely, we could use some new properties. As soon as God guides and directs and leads us to do that. See, we see there was things they knew needed to be done, but they had to wait on God. There's things we know that need to be done, but just like them, it's imperative to not get ahead of God and get out in front of God, but rather be patient and wait on God to do those things. I also want to point out again that they're about to cross the Jordan. You remember when they crossed the Red Sea? Moses took his rod, he held it up, the waters parted. This time they're about to cross some water, and it looks a little different. And so we understand that things aren't always exactly the same. Now that sounds a little bit off from what I said earlier, because we are what we've always been, and doctrinally and philosophically, we are what we are, and we are not budging, we're not changing, we're not moving off of any of that. But things can be done as the Lord leads a little different. Okay, case in point, come here 45 years ago, red pews, orange carpet, orange pews, red carpet, I don't remember, it was ugly. It looks a little different, doesn't it? And I'm thankful for it. And if you could see the pictures of the old auditorium, you would be too. If you could see the Kids for Christ back when it was a gym and paneling and had that insulation that every time you hit it with a ball, big chunks of insulation fell on the ground and that tile, if you could see that, you understand we've made an improvement. So things are different. And things can be different, and we can't resist that as long as we're not shifting away doctrinally and philosophically from those things. And so God leads us, and sometimes He leads us to do things just a little bit different, again, always according to His Word. That's a very important part of it. But then there's a third part of this. In Joshua chapter 3, was really about the nation of Israel stepping out by faith and moving forward. By faith, they were going to cross the Jordan River. By faith, they were going to face things that were unknown in the promised land. By faith, they trusted that the very best days were still ahead because their God was still alive on the throne. And as long as they were following their God, they knew that God was going to continue to work and they were going to be able to experience their own miracles. And in fact, within 24 hours of this, they were going to experience their own miracle. They may have missed out on the Red Sea, but they were about to see the Jordan River. And as God stopped the waters there, I've encouraged our staff to step out by faith this year. I've encouraged them to move forward in the year ahead. I've encouraged them to set some goals for themselves and for their ministries. And not to just be content with what has been and where we are, but I've asked them to be very specific about what they want to see God do in the future. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have most all of our staff come at this time, and we're going to allow them just to give you a little update, a little bit of what God's doing in their heart and what they hope to see God do this year and in the future. And so we're going to start with Brother Trevor, and he's going to come and talk a little bit about the youth.
Vision for this next year is that Trevor will be prepared.
You could prepare some for some a million times so important to you and then forget to bring up where you had all your notes. This year, teenagers will make over 35,000 decisions. By age 18, 66% of teenagers who grew up in a church will leave their faith. Only 4% of Gen Z has a biblical worldview. This year alone, over 1 million teens will battle suicidal thoughts. It is clear by these statistics that our youth group needs to be equipped with the right worldview, right friends, and right influences if they want to become outliers in our world. Outliers in the sense that they won't find themselves among the 66% leaving the faith, that they won't find themselves amongst the 96% trying to figure everything out on their own, or amongst the million battling depression and anxiety. This is why our theme in our youth group this year is living transformed. Romans 12:2 commands all believers to be ye transformed. Not only do we want to equip our youth in the classroom, but we want them to grow and apply what they have learned. They can do this through some of our key events in 2025. Wednesday night programs during the school year are a great opportunity to invite a friend when they may not come on a Sunday. We play games to help people get comfortable, and the gospel is preached every single time. We keep costs as low as possible, but in order to pay for snacks and game equipment, we utilize the proceeds from our restaurant takeovers. These happen every other month at the Something Different Grill on 50th Street. We have them at this location because of their hospitality, and they donate on average 15% more than other restaurants would. On top of our restaurant takeovers, we have one planned activity or more every single month. This is to aid our youth in making the right friends. These activities would include our quarterly youth rallies and our summer activities. This year, we will be going to Southland Camp in Louisiana from June 9th through the 13th. We'll be joined by Brother Dave Delaney and Dr. John Getch. We will also be going to youth conference in Heartland, at Heartland Baptist Bible College on July 29th through the 31st. These events provide a unique and profitable opportunity for our youth to grow closer to the Lord, closer to each other, and apply what they've been learning. But obviously, we want to provide excellent opportunities for growth and application on our own campus as well. And as a part of this, we are desiring to remodel our youth room. We want to expand it to the entire upstairs of our two-story building. As of right now, we are very limited on space due to the amount of teens that are in our services. We have been averaging just under 40 on Wednesday nights, and since June this year, we have been averaging 57 teens on Sunday mornings. By faith, we hope to grow this figure by 7.5% over this year. Having a more welcoming space will allow us to connect better with the youth, incentivize our youth members to invite their friends, and create an up-to-date atmosphere. Well, how can you help us this year? Well, you can first help by praying for God to work in the life of our youth and for more people to come and get saved. You can also volunteer at any of our youth events, such as the youth rallies, our Wednesday night programs, or even on Sunday morning. I'm very blessed right now to have incredible help from my wife. And right now, we are very blessed to have help from the Jeskies, the Sanders, the Hales, and Amanda Arnold. They have been an essential part of our youth department since we've got here. We could have not done anything without their help, their advice, and their support. It's a true encouragement to see their passion and sacrifice to help out in our youth department by faith, no matter what they're doing. As we are laboring and praying for growth, we are also praying for God to help meet the financial need that a remodel would cost. I would encourage everyone to pray about giving specifically to our youth department by faith. If God lays it on your heart to do so, we pray that you would follow through with it. We promise it will be worth it.
I want to begin by just thanking the parents and the church for the opportunity I have to work in the kids' ministry and work alongside you parents to minister to your kids. God has worked in many ways in the last year, and we were able to see 40 kids come to the knowledge of salvation. We also were averaging in May about 60 to 65 kids, but in the last few months, we've been averaging around 80 kids per week. We thank the Lord for that, and by faith, we have set some goals for this year to have 50 salvations. We also want to have on average 100 kids in Kids Church, and we are praying and working towards these goals. I want to go over a few big events. First, our biggest event, Kids Blast. Due to circumstances out of our control, we won't be going to junior camp this year, but we will be looking for a better option in the future. Since we won't be having junior camp this year, it gives us the opportunity to tune in on making Kids Blast bigger and better. By faith, this will be our biggest Kids Blast we've ever had. We will be adding bigger prizes, more promotions, with bigger setup, which we're excited to announce. The theme for 2025 Kids Blast will be Western Roundup. This will be on July 21st to the 24th. We have already begun preparing for this, and we hope that you take part in this event. Our next big event for this year is our Kids Adventure Day, which we'll be taking a bus and going to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, June 20th, and letting our kids explore God's creation. This will be our first ever Kids Adventure Day, so you will not want to miss out. The next thing I want to mention is our activities this year. We are going to have more activities than ever before. We'll be having them every month, and we will keep you updated on when and where those events will be. Some will be at the church and some other places like Main Event. We are excited to see what God's going to do in this year of 2025. I do want to take some time to thank all the Sunday school teachers and kids church helpers for their hard work and the time that they spend preparing their lessons. I also want to especially thank Brother Morgan Mitchell for everything that he does. We will not be able to do what we do in kids ministry without his help. Please continue to pray that God will help us reach these goals and grow our kids ministry.
I want to take a moment and express how grateful Megan and I are for the opportunity that we have to serve in the college ministries here at Bethany. It's been such a joy to have a front row seat to witness God working in the lives of these young adults. From the end of 2023 to the end of 2024, God has blessed this ministry in a great way. We were averaging in 2023, 8 to 12 in our class. Throughout 2024, that number went to 17 to 25 on busy Sundays, pushing 30. We have seen a number of our students get saved, baptized, and join Bethany, which has been such a blessing. What an amazing year it has been. We are also deeply thankful for Missy and Alan Ware and Miss Stephanie Pearson, whose support has been a tremendous blessing to me and Megan and to the students in our class. Lubbock, Texas is a college town, home to Texas Tech University, the Red Raiders, if you like the Red Raiders. A little known fact about Texas Tech is that it consistently ranks among the top 10% universities in our country for international student population, with thousands attending yearly. On the screen, you'll see a list of countries. All of these share something in common. They are either restricted or under-evangelized nations of the gospel. You see, Texas Tech hosts a diverse student body from many states and countries. The ones listed are just a few that represent the international student body at Tech. It would be very difficult for any of us to reach these people groups, but these campuses have given us here at Bethany a unique opportunity to impact lives here in Lubbock, where we have the freedom to do so. We have the chance to disciple them and watch as God uses them to reach their nations. Students at Tech and other campuses throughout Lubbock will also go on to pursue careers in various states across the U.S., meaning that by reaching them here, we have the potential to see the gospel spread across the globe. By faith, I know we can see even greater growth this year in the college ministry. This year, I want to see our class surpass 40 students consistently on Sundays. Some of the things we currently do to reach the college-age adults are holding weekly Bible studies and monthly activities where we have a time to study and reflect on God's word and fellowship amongst each other. This has been an effective way to connect with students. These gatherings allow them to bond with like-minded peers and build lasting friendships. We have big plans for this year, and by faith, I know that God will bless our efforts and bring even more students to Christ. One of the big things we are kicking off this year is our campus ministries, which includes running a bus service to make it easier for students to attend church and participate in our activities. We're also starting new campaigns on campus to reach as many students as possible and to invite them to be a part of the Bethany family. This summer, we're thrilled that we get to attend our first college retreat, and I truly believe that God will move in powerful ways in the lives of our young adults during this time. My prayer is to see our class grow and the lives of our students change through Christ, but also to see a revival take place on our college campuses. Again, these are our future leaders, and if we want to see a world changed and turn to Christ, it must start in the hearts of the people. And by faith, I believe with all my heart that we can see this change through our college and young adults. Once again, we're excited for the year ahead, and I hope each of you shares in our excitement, because God is working, and what an exciting time it is. By faith, we know that God is going to do amazing things in and through our church. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to begin first off by just thanking each and every one of our bus workers, bus captains, and bus drivers. Not just on Sunday morning when you get up early, get here, to get on the route right on time, go pick up the kids, or just for staying after service, giving up your afternoon to make sure that they can get home. But also, I'd like to thank you for the hours and hours you spend each weekend on Saturday going out and visiting each of your kids on your routes and just the investment that you have made in each and every one of them. Mark 10, verse 14 says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And I believe that this verse perfectly captures the heart of Bethany Baptist Bus Ministry. And as Pastor said, the bus ministry is nothing new to Bethany Baptist Church. It's been here for a very long time. And God has used this bus ministry. Every Sunday morning, between 80 and 100 kids step onto campus that rode our buses into church. These kids are often from rough backgrounds, broken and spiritually dead homes, and unstable living conditions. Which brings me to the purpose of the bus ministry. Simply put, the bus ministry purpose is to deliver hope. The hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to these kids and to their families, and that is the hope that is going to change their lives, change their outlook. The goal of the bus ministry is to provide children across Lubbock with a consistent way to come to church each week, to see them saved and discipled, to encourage them to follow God with their lives, not just as kids, but as teens and beyond, and ultimately to reach their families with the gospel. One of the greatest joys in this ministry is watching God take the worst kid on your bus, the one that always acts up, the one that always acts out, and God gets a hold of their heart and transforms their life in the most miraculous way. And they go from always acting out to being the one who wants to help, to being the one who comes in and says, look what God showed me today in my Bible. This past year, we saw significant growth. And most importantly, God at work in the bus ministry. We had many new riders join our routes. We witnessed kids getting saved and lives being transformed. There are several kids specifically that we'd been praying for months. Specifically, one little girl I was thinking of constantly would say, I'm not a sinner. And we kept praying and praying, and God got a hold of her heart, and she got saved. We were able to build relationships with their parents and families, allowing for opportunities to witness to them. And most importantly, God was glorified through it all. At the end of the year, our average weekly attendance was over 80 riders, often exceeding 100 riders. But tonight, our focus isn't just on what God has done this last year, but the focus is on what we believe he will do as we take steps of faith this year. And we're looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. By faith, we want to see our routes expand and our buses absolutely filled. By faith, we want to see entire families come to Christ through this ministry. And by faith, we want to launch two new bus routes to reach even more children. So moving forward in faith and by faith this year, to reach these goals, we're launching several key initiatives. The first one I would like to bring your attention to is the monthly bus blitzes. Every Saturday, our bus captains go out and visit each kid on the route. They invest in them, they talk with them, they work with them. But once a month, on the last Saturday of the month, we will have a bus blitz where we use a time usually designated to grow outreach, and we will go out, same time frame, and canvass a neighborhood on one of our bus routes. And we'll canvass it with flyers, inviting new families to join us in riding the bus, but also to promote our monthly bus events. Not only do we have monthly outreach, but we also have several annual outreach activities. And I'd like to just highlight a couple of them. The first one is Picnic at the Park. This is a phenomenal opportunity to connect with the kids, but not only the kids, we get to invite their parents and their families to come as well. We will provide a meal, there'll be games, but most importantly, there's always been a clear gospel message presented, and we've seen God use this to bring souls to him. Not only are we going to have the picnic at the park, but we also, and most of you are familiar, if not all of you are familiar with this, Christmas for Kids. We just came off of it. This is a phenomenal opportunity. Not only are we reaching kids on our route, we're able to get information into the schools and branch out from there. And then kids and parents and families who may not have ever even heard of Bethany Baptist Church get to hear of Bethany Baptist Church, and they come. This event has always generated new riders, and God has used it. And some of the kids that got saved in the last couple months are new riders. That started coming because of Christmas for Kids. See, I'm convinced that God is going to do amazing things through Bethany Baptist Bus Ministry this year. But we can't do it alone. The staff can't do it alone. The bus captains can't do it alone. The bus workers can't do it alone. We're a church. We need prayer. We need commitment. We need willing hands to reach these kids and their families with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By faith, will you commit to pray and be willing to serve if God calls you to?
Oh, you don't have to clap for me. That's okay. Maybe you noticed we have some banners behind me. I want to talk to you just for a minute about those and about our Sunday school classes and our adult ministries. The Great Commission is broken into three parts: preaching, baptizing, and teaching people the Word of God. And Bethany Baptist Church has always desired our Sunday school ministry to be focused on that third part of the Great Commission. And so in an effort to really just add some life and a little bit of clarity and identity into our Sunday schools, we're not moving away from Sunday school. Many churches have, and they've decided to do very different things with their ministries. But at Bethany Baptist Church, we want to consistently be teaching the Word of God through our Sunday school ministries. But we are going to move forward with making some name changes to our Sunday school ministries. This is going to help us tremendously in some of the communications that we have and connecting people. And so going from really our children's ministries have Sunday school classes, but in our adult ministries for the foreseeable future, we would like to call them connection groups. And so starting this Sunday, each of these connection groups are going to have a new name. We desire these groups to first and foremost connect people to the Lord through sound biblical teaching. But also, we want these groups to connect people in our church to have a stronger relationship with one another. We're stronger together. And these groups are a great way to strengthen the bonds of Christ in our church. So let me talk to you about these names just for a little bit. First of all, you've already seen our college ministry. And aren't you grateful for their energy and their vitality that they've put in it? The Roberts have poured out their hearts and much into the college ministry. I'm excited about what God's doing there. The title of that class is going to be Journey. It's a college and career connection group. Brother Keith and Miss Megan Roberts have been leading. And you heard the burden that they have to reach these young people. And I didn't even realize the international impact that we can have through a place like Texas Tech. But it's incredible. And so I'm very excited about what God is doing through the college ministry. I want to encourage you to pray for the young people in that class and the leadership in that class as they embark on their journey into their adult life. Next, we're going to talk about a new class, Ascend. Ascend is a young adults connection group, and this is something we're going to be building, hopefully, Lord willing, over the next several months, and my wife and I will be leading that class. We're excited to launch this new class for really focusing on younger couples. I'm so thankful that we've had people in our own lives, my wife and I, that gave us godly advice when we were first starting out. We desire this class to be a place where young couples can learn, grow, connect, and develop families into all that God wants them to be. So we're going to initially start this group in conjunction with the Journey Connection Group, the college ministry, and then specifically for the young couples and having some different sessions for them and having different activities for them. Lord willing, and I was just writing down some names of young couples that are coming to our church. If you look out on a Sunday morning, they're everywhere. And we need to capture them, bring them into a group where they can learn, where they can grow, where they can strengthen their faith. Many of you see couples in the first several years of marriage, they're really struggling. There are battles out there that they're facing, and we want to be a help to them. So please pray as we begin this new ministry through the Journey Ministry and be starting the Ascend Young Adults Connection Group. Thirdly, we have the Core Connection Group. That's a 30s and 40s connection group. All these ages are loose, okay? Don't get too uptight about that. I know many of you, you're 80 and you're walking in there, hey, I feel young. No, I'm just kidding. This is a very large group of people in our church. However, if you walked by their class on a Sunday morning, you would look in and you would say, is this really a large group of our church? You might think differently. Well, why is that? That's because this is the core group of people in our church. And what they're doing is they're serving all over this campus. They're teaching. They're serving. They're doing security, and they're ushering, and they're greeting, and they're here and there. They're all over the place. And I'm thankful and grateful for this core group of people led by Brother David, Miss Kimberly Lube, and Brother Ty, Miss Nicole Griffin. And I'm thankful for their investment in the class and their teaching. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in the coming year as we really emphasize fellowship in these groups. And so these people in this particular age group, they have very busy lives. And it's our desire over the next year to see their connections in our church deepen through the core connection group. The next one is Renew, Single Adults Connection Group, led by Brother Mark and Miss Connie Holland. I'm thankful that our God is a God of second chances. Amen. And this group of people, the Renew Connection Group, is a great class for single adults to find new life in Christ or experience restoration as they seek to follow the Lord. And so I'm thankful for the Renew Connection Group. Also, Brother Mark and Miss Connie, who have just been faithful in leading that, along with our Hope Ministry. And sometimes there's many that come to Hope, and they end up getting into Sunday school and then getting into church, and you'll see them come through, and you'll see some of them get their lives changed through those ministries. So we're thankful for the Renew Connection Group and Brother Mark and Miss Connie. Also, next, let's talk about the Thrive Connection Group. This is the 50s and 60s, again, loosely, okay? 50s and 60s Connection Group led by Brother Gerald and Miss Kim Mason. As you enter your 50s and 60s, your kids begin to move on, and you start having grandkids, right? Grandkids. Your life really changes. And God wants to use your experience, the things that you've done, the things that you've experienced, the wisdom that you have and gained over the years to impact the next generation. And this Thrive Connection Group is there to strengthen you so that you can make a godly impact on those that look up to you. There's many in that class that I look up to and I think, you know, they've been through some of the things that I've gone through, and I'm able to glean that wisdom from them. But so many times they get into those classes and maybe get up in those years and think, you know, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. You're being an example to others. And we really want you to be a part of that group in the Thrive Connection Group. The last one we're going to talk about is the Legacy Connection Group, led by Brother Mike and Miss Donna Gilbert. Brother Mike is one of the best teachers that I've ever heard. And week in, week out, it's just incredible how God's gifted him in teaching and leading our senior adult ministry. The senior adult connection group, every one of us has a story. And we all want to hear this someday. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The goal of the Legacy Connection Group is to encourage and equip our senior saints to follow the Lord all the days of their life. And there's many things that we do for our seniors and things that we're going to do and fellowshipping throughout the year. And I encourage you, if you're in that group, get plugged in, get involved, be encouraged, and continue on for Christ. So we're looking forward to emphasizing fellowship through these connection groups this year, keeping the Word of God the main thing and giving opportunity to connect on a deeper level. And one way that you can connect this year, we've been talking a lot about our app. And so if you have your phone, pull it out right now, look at it. Pull up the Bethany. How many of you have the Bethany app? I know you do. You're going to notice when you launch the app, up in the top toolbar on the right side, there is a messages section. In that messages section, you can click discover, and you're going to see all of these connection groups that we just listed. That connection group area is for you to stay informed and connected with the people in your class, not just on a Sunday. But I think it's vital that we connect all through the week. If you have a prayer request, you can put a prayer request on there. If you need help with something, you want to post a Bible verse, teachers want to communicate about an activity coming up, all of that is going to be on the app through the messaging section. So I encourage you tonight, take your phone, make sure you get on there, connect with your group, your specific group. And that's by request, so we didn't open it up so that everybody could just join from you know, everywhere else in the world. We really want that to be church-specific, so you can request to join one of those groups. We'll add you in, and you'll be able to connect with your group. So I'm excited about that. So be sure to be here this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and join your new connection group.
This isn't in my notes. But I want to, I hope that you get the idea that we take what we do very serious. If a police officer fails to do his job, crime rises. If a counselor fails to do his job, a marriage falls apart. If a doctor messes up in his job, somebody dies. If we mess up in our job, people go to hell. So we take what we do very, very, very serious. And we don't just show up and just throw things together. But I hope you understand our staff is extremely purposeful in everything they do and driven in what they do because they understand it's the difference between people going to heaven and people going to hell. And so we've got purpose in moving forward in areas that we feel like God is leading us. And I believe that if we stay on task, continue to follow the Lord, just like with the nation of Israel, there are incredible victories that are going to be won this year. And so I believe, and I've talked to some people in the know, and by faith, I believe maybe even this year, that this lot across the street that's never really been ours, and but that we park on, I believe that substation is going to be removed, and I believe by faith that that property is going to be given to our church to help us expand some parking over there. With that being said, how many of you have noticed there's a for sale sign on the house right here? And we've not always had the best neighbors in that house throughout the years. And well, we have a chance to fix that. Now, they're asking too much for this home. And I'll be very clear, they're asking too much. And we are not going to give them what they're asking. I believe wholeheartedly that they know the church wants it, and they believe they can take advantage of God. And I'm not going to let them take advantage of God or God's money. But I am willing to go in and make a fair market offer on that property. And we've talked to Ms. Melissa Brulette, and we've done all of our homework, and we believe that top dollar for that house is $120,000. That is a very, very, very fair offer to the people that own that house. And so we are prepared to make that offer. However, in order for us to do that, the church has to vote anytime we go in debt. The only debt the church has would be the little bit that we owe still on this house. And our goal is, of course, in just the next couple of years, pay that off. And then if the church votes to allow us to go into debt and purchase that, we would like in the same amount of time to just very, very rapidly pay that off. I've got a hint that maybe some other houses on the other end, this one here on the corner, that's caused almost everybody in this room to wreck once or twice. And some of you have wrecked because you can't see anything. I believe that house is going to come up for sale, and we'll evaluate that when that comes up. But we would, and you'll notice on your piece of paper tonight that we're going to ask the church to vote on a purchase of that property with the value at $120,000, and there would be very little, there may be a little, but there would be very little negotiation over and above that amount. And so we would not go in debt, I would say it this way, we will not go in debt for that property any more than $120,000. And if we had to increase a couple of thousand, we would just take that out of our general account. But I would ask you to pray that we don't even have to do that, that God would give us that property for that amount. And so if you're in agreement to that, I would ask that you just vote yes tonight. If you're not in agreement to that, of course, you have the opportunity and the privilege of voting no. And I would just ask that you seek God's wisdom on that and imagine what that would do for our property, even if we just moved that house and was able to make that one massive parking lot over there, how that would change things on a Sunday morning for this church. And so I think it is a very, very valuable piece of property. Personally, I believe the Lord is leading us. Personally, it was unanimous with our deacons and trustees. They believe the Lord would lead us to go after that property. But we're a church, and you're a body, and everybody in here gets a vote. And so you get to make that vote. I'm so very thankful and that over the last 3 years, Brother Monty Calvert, Valentin Espinoza, Ty Griffin have all served as trustees of this church, as well as Brandon Sneed. You'll notice on your paper, though, that things are a little off. And we have three that rotated on last year, and then two the year before, and then four. Somewhere along the line, a few years ago, one of our trustees took sick, and so we had to rotate them off early. And that threw our numbers off, and so that is 3, 2, and 4. And so after seeking some guidance from a deacon on this, and I feel like it would be very wise and for us to get this back evened out where it would be 3, 3, and 3 every year. And so I've asked Brother Brandon Sneed to remain on as a trustee for one more additional year in order to even this out, so every year then we would have the same amount rotating off and not off numbers like that. And he has agreed to do that. And so I'm thankful that he's willing to do that. And so tonight what we would be doing then is voting in three new trustees. There's five names on there. And you say, who should I vote for, preacher? Yep. You're not going to go wrong. And so just every one of them. Brother Joe Bussey has served as a trustee for many, many years. Jackie Dalrymple has served as a trustee for many years. Brother Richard Sanders has been on the trustee board. All of these men a blessing. Joe Everett, God's led him to this church. And I was so excited when his name came up. And he prayed about it for a couple of days and agreed to be put on here. And he is an incredible worker, servant, behind the scenes, and loves the Lord as much as anybody. And then, of course, Keith Roberts, and his name is on there as well, and he's just been a big help around here. And as God is growing them and him, and through his training, and to be in the ministry someday, wherever God would have that to be. And so I would ask that at this time you take that. Everybody should have one. If you don't, if you just raise your hand, and we will run. Yep, we've got several that don't. So if we have some ushers that would grab some extras real quick and take those to those that don't have them, just keep your hand up until you get them. And then I would ask that you go ahead and fill them out. Staff, if you don't have one, you can go grab one as well. There's a great thing about a local New Testament church. God believes in pastoral leadership, and God put a pastor in this church for a purpose and a reason. But guess what? My vote is the same as yours and counts just as much as yours, because it's not just a church or just a pastor. We are a church, we are a body, and every person gets to seek how the Lord would lead them and put that down. So if you finish that up, just fold that over. Don't need to put your name or anything on it, unless you're just super proud of whatever you doodled on there and want everybody to know. And then if you would, just take those and pass those toward the aisles, and we're going to have our ushers come through, and they're going to collect those. If you would just pass those toward either aisle, that would be great. Keith, let me give you this. All right. As we close out that text, I think we all know that the greatest days for the nation of Israel were ahead of them. And that does not and did not diminish anything that God had done in the past. And I believe with all my heart, the very best days of Bethany Baptist Church, if we will follow God and we will be true doctrinally, philosophically, to everything that we've always been, and we do not waver and just continue to be what God's called us to be, I absolutely believe the very best days of our church are ahead of us. And so I would invite you to do this. Stand with me, and we are going to see some announcements. We're going to close in a song, but I would personally like to just pray with the church tonight and ask God's blessings on this upcoming year, and that God would help this church to be everything that He wants us to be. So let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for Bethany Baptist Church. I'm thankful for 51 years of rich history. I'm thankful for Brother Spencer. I'm thankful for Brother O'Brien. I'm thankful for Brother Denson. And God, the work that You did through their leadership. But Lord, under each of those pastors, there was a group of people, many of those that are not here today. But Lord, they gave their all to help this church to be everything You want it to be. Most of all tonight, Father, we're thankful for You. We're thankful for Your blessings. We're thankful that You're still alive. You're still on the throne. You're still doing a work. You're still growing Your church. And God, we just want to be a part of that. And so I pray that You would help us in this upcoming year to have the unity that we need in order to see what You be able to do, what You want to do through us. I pray that You would give us the faith to step out and do what we need to do. God, our eyes are fixed upon You, and it is our great desire simply to follow your leading and to be exactly what you want us to be. And so we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks for everything that you've done and everything that you have in store for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's see some announcements, and then we're going to be dismissed in a song.